Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony Works and Ernie Brown, your local home and garden guys. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Ernie. How are you?
Dandy, thanks.
Dandy. You should be dandy. You should be well rested, too, after that big, long vacation
I just came off of. So awesome.
Good.
You know, there's nothing better than an extended vacation. I think it was a total of 11 days where I just had a chance to relax and enjoy and hang out. But, daggone, that alarm clock seemed much louder this morning at 4 a.m. than I remembered.
You know, as a matter of fact, I got up before mine even went off.
Oh, I wish I would have, because it went off and I woke up angry going, what's that noise? But just took me a second to reorient myself and, ready to go.
Oh, I know. That is, well, Lisa, like, are you a snoozer? Do you keep hitting the snooze button?
No.
So you're up.
She never hears it upstairs in her room anyway.
Oh, yeah. You have his and her room. Yeah. I got it. Okay.
She might have heard me slamming it down this morning, but she definitely heard me starting the bike and coming into work. It was just too nice to not ride, you know, so I cruised in this morning, and what a beautiful ride.
Oh, yeah, I bet it was. I bet it's loud when you fire that thing
up. It is.
Are you kind of like partially in the basement?
Oh, it's a basement garage.
The driveway.
I tried to get up the driveway and get the garage door closed and just sort of idle down the street so that doesn't wake up everyone, but everyone does. They know when I leave.
I bet.
The old blue's kind of loud.
I'd have to ask you, hey, can you knock that off? Can you just take your car in?
Yeah.
Not the bike?
But it was a beautiful ride in, and the forecast is gorgeous for the weekend.
That's what they're saying.
Yep, sunny skies, lower humidity than we've been accustomed to recently, and temperatures hovering in the mid-80s, somewhere in that area, for the next 4 days. So it's going to be gorgeous.
I like it. Plenty of time to get outside and do a few things. I need to do a few things. As a matter of fact, I was just asking you earlier this morning, did you have any wind damage yesterday at your house?
Just a couple of dead limbs came down, but they were small ones, not nearly much of any damage at all, but I heard you did.
Oh, wow. I went home, and to my surprise, well, Tina had asked me, she goes, what did you do with the umbrella? You know, our table umbrella. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she looked at me with a funny face, and she's like, oh, you put it somewhere. Yeah. I said, no, I didn't. And as a matter of fact, I got to tell you this. I was going to close it yesterday morning before I left to go to work, because I shut the back room windows, and I knew something was up.
Oh.
And I said, Tina, I said, something's going on. And it was like over in the neighbor's yard. The wind had lifted it right up and over our back room.
Yeah.
And just hurled it. And I had a couple of trees that were damaged pretty bad, so I had to do a little bit of cutting.
Hmm.
Yeah, and my next door neighbor told me it was so bad. And there were a couple fallen trees that had, landed in his yard, and one on his shed right on the corner.
Uh-huh.
He told me that he thought it was pretty serious the way the wind came through, that he took his family down to the basement.
Wow. You didn't see an old woman pedaling by about treetop high, did you?
No.
Grab Toto and run to the basement.
Grab Toto. Oh, my. I tell you what. But I got a little bit of work ahead of me. So hopefully it's not too hot to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking forward to it either.
Yeah, but it'll also be a great day to get to your local home and garden center and check out some plants and get some things done, freshen up everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I have to tell you, I do a little bragging, is I worked and worked and worked on that south side of the house and that bed. The cannas all came up. They're about a foot and a half tall and looking spectacular.
Good. Good for you.
Yeah.
Still a little ways yet to go for the bloom period.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's just nice to see some plants on that side of the house.
Oh, I can imagine. Versus weeds.
Versus weeds.
Yes.
I do have to get in there and get some grasses jumped in there right away. So while we were gone, there's a couple of shoots of grass.
I thought you had a lawn care service.
No,
I thought you had people that would come in.
You're looking at the lawn care service.
Yeah, I thought you had people that takes care of your yard, because I can't afford to do that.
I've been a little laxed here of recent. Thankfully, our youngest Adam came over and cut it once while we were gone, which was great.
That was a good deal.
and I wound up cutting it as soon as we got back. Lisa said, why does that bother you so much? That's not that it bothers me, but if I don't do it now, then in a couple of days, it's going to be even harder to cut.
Sure.
So, got a lot of that done.
Speaking of cutting, I need to mow my yard, too. And we while you were gone, we had a little bit of rain, more than a little bit of rain.
I heard.
And it was a good rain. You know, it was a nice, steady rain, and it was one that we really needed. Actually, it was dry, I thought, especially in some areas throughout. And there were some areas throughout that had a little bit more rain than others, but it was much needed.
And, that's good. It must have been very good because a lot of the daisies and the lilies that I transplanted from the back side of the fence over to the side. Perked up.
Good.
The daisies bloomed. The lilies didn't, but, you know, they all kind of, you know, stood up and standing their ground, so to speak.
Gotcha.
So that's good news.
So what about your garden?
We didn't put out a garden this year.
At all?
No, not at all.
Well, I thought you did.
We're working in the basement. And I posted, and I'll try to get those to our In and Around the House Facebook page. Yesterday, got up and got ambitious and decided I was going to go ahead and
tear some stuff out.
So I got to ripping and tearing and stacking and took down a couple of more walls in that downstairs
And don't take out too many because I don't want anything to collapse.
No.
Yeah, don't, you're a pretty big guy. And you're walking upstairs. All of a sudden, it's like you go through the floor.
No, it's not quite like that.
What was that movie where Tom Hanks went through the floor? The Money Pit?
Money Pit. Yeah, the Money
Pit.
Don't
fall into that pit.
No. No, we got a lot of stuff done. I mean, you know, even though we came back from vacation well relaxed, and it was time to take a couple of days and just pay attention to that.
No, I understand. You know, Tina and I, we really didn't do a whole lot during the fourth weekend, mm-hmm. you know, because it rained primarily, but managed to get a lot of things done inside that I needed to get done and taken care of. And one of those was just, you know, going through, I don't know why I keep and hold on to a lot of like paperwork, filing stuff. And it's time to shred, you know, just shred, and get it filed. And it just, when things are in an order like that or filed appropriately, mm-hmm. you know where things are, it makes you feel good. But I'll be right back to where I started.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what I primarily did over the holiday weekend. Unlike you, you're getting a little bit of R&R. That was much very deserved, nice.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Oh, man. It felt great. And, you know how things go. I had to ask my brother if I could borrow his Sawzall because I wanted to remove the walls. I wanted to reuse as many of those studs as I can in those walls. So I was just going to cut the nails out of it and then pull any other nails and screws out. And he comes over, and I'm just laying. I say, here's where I'm going to do this. This wall goes here. This wall goes here. I'm going to put a closet over here. And he turns around and goes, I don't want to upset you. And I know how I feel when somebody comes in after I've got my mind made up. But why do you want to move this wall if it's already here? Why don't you maybe think about putting the closet in this area where you already have two of the walls, and all you have to do is frame in the door?
It was too simple.
Just drop your tools and leave, pal. But he was right. So I haven't taken that down or taken Lisa down and showed her the plans there because she wanted a closet on that wall and I insisted on it being on another wall. But, you know, then when he pointed that out, that takes a lot of the destruction and then reconstruction out of the formula, so which works out great.
The handyman that you are.
Yeah. You got to do something, even if it's wrong. 749-B105, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause. We'll be right back. You know how one thing leads to another.
Oh, yeah.
Back In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. I do have to tell you this. At least I want to tell you before my wife Lisa gets up. You know, this is how luck goes into the vacation. Thankfully, it didn't happen on the way back. I was going down to my buddy's place to have a few Frosties at the end of the week. Car breaks down on the way. So I had to call my wife, Lisa, to arrange for the towing to come get me and the car. And we take it up to our other friends who are going to work on it, Schwartys up there on Buttermilk. And so she comes and picks me up there. I tell them, Mark what's going on and what happened and what it sounded like and all that stuff. And Lisa says, we're just going to run through Arby's and grab something to eat on the way back home. I said, well, that's fine. So she's driving. We pull up. We place our order. And you can tell it's a new young girl, new young employee at the at the window. And she looks in after she tells us what our order is, how much it is. And looks at Lisa and says, would you like me to add the senior citizens discount, honey? I am rolling over in the passenger seat and then I get that look, you know, the look you get from your wife when it's not too funny for her, but you're thinking it's hilarious.
Got it. Got it. Hey, I can only, Lisa's younger than you, is that right?
Yeah, she's 6 years younger than I am. So the girl was being as sweet and as pleasant as could be, you know, and she was doing a fantastic job.
Got it.
And so Lisa just turns and goes, yes, thank you, please.
You know, we used to have a seniors' day at the Garden Center. And if you were to ask someone, you know, are you a senior by chance? And you're just merely trying to...
Yeah.
Want to they would get so upset, look you up one side and down the other.
Oh, it was fantastic.
And just really let you have it.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know...
Well, at least they had a great comeback.
Yeah.
She meant you. She looked at you and said, senior discount.
But I don't know. You know, it's a good thing and a bad thing sometimes.
Yeah.
I just decided to take it off the... The weekly list, because I think more people were getting upset and feeling it was a benefit.
Yeah.
Oh, well. What do you do?
What do you got going on down, Jackson?
What do I have going on, Jackson? A lot of different things, you know. The season's coming, you know, it's coming to a head, so to speak. It's not over. It's not finished. You know, it's just winding down a little bit. And a lot of that has to do with people who are on vacation. You know, the kids are out of school and all that other good stuff, just like you and Lisa were last week.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have a great selection of some trees and shrubs left and so forth that are half off. And, you know, we go into a little bit of a different mode than a lot of year-round garden centers because, you know, we'll get set up and ready to go into the fall season. And, you know, we're starting to get some holiday stuff in. We're starting to change some things around a little bit. Trying to catch our breath, so to speak, just like a lot of other garden centers. So it's that time of year, but still a great time to get out and do things in the landscape or in the lawn or out wherever around the home. So don't think that it's over. You know, there's still a great selection of perennials out there, trees and shrubs, and just be cautious, be careful. You know, the temperatures are starting to hover around the 90-degree range, you know. Today's going to be really nice.
Beautiful.
But just make sure when you're out still working in the lawn or in the landscape that you drink plenty of water. That's very, very important.
Sure. Got to stay hydrated.
So we've been busy with that. And the other thing I want to touch on this morning, too, was something that happened in Covington the other night. I posted this on my Facebook page, and this was just a crying shame what happened.
Oh, I know.
I don't know if this was somebody who acted alone or a group of people, you know, if it was a group of vandals. But 17 trees were destroyed over in Covington on Holman Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just totally appalled seeing that kind of vandalism.
I know.
And
senseless.
I hope they find out who actually did this. And there's a lot of people who are just up in arms. And I know that the police are involved with all this and so forth. And I just wanted to point that out. It was a train wreck.
Sure.
And to see that, it was just so, it was just disgusting.
So, you know, when I saw the footage and they were talking about this vandalism and tearing or cutting the trees in half, it seemed to me it had to be something quick and easy. I can't imagine someone going through there with a handsaw. And certainly a chainsaw would make way too much noise.
I don't even know if it's like a large machete or type of knife or a hand, like pruning saw. Anyway, everybody's coming together collectively in the community, and they're going to have a get-together, and they're going to plant those trees again sometime this fall, and we'll get more information about it.
But, it seems to me there was a post, too, about a reforesting Covington fundraiser to help pay for that, because they applied for grants and got money for those trees.
So. Right. But it's beyond me why somebody or a group of people would do something.
Oh, I know.
It was terrible. So keep that in mind. Check that out on our Facebook page so you can really see what actually went on and what occurred. Gosh, I'm just speechless.
Yeah, and I remember when they were doing that, we talked quite extensively about that whole project, planting all the trees,
right,
getting them all registered on the
taking root,
all
that other good stuff, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And here our efforts have been thwarted by a couple of thugs.
Oh gosh, and you know, and you just brought up a good thing too, and thank you by the way, and that's taking. Thugs. Yeah. The Taking Root Initiative, that's such an important initiative here in the tri-state area. And just to touch on that real quick, the goal is, you know, is to plant 2 million trees by the year 2020. We need trees. And, you know, just going back to what we said a moment ago when I had just went home yesterday after work and there were some trees in the yard that had fallen. You know, some of those were some of the old ash trees. You know, there were some trees I chose not to treat, so to speak. And, you know, I still need to take a few down, as well as a lot of other people. But these trees are starting to decay. They're getting weak. And you get into those situations where you have high winds. Boom, they're down. And they're going to damage something that's good, or they're going to land on your home or your deck. So take it upon yourself. You know, I've put that off myself, and I should have had those removed.
Sure.
And I'm telling you what I should have done. So I'm just like everybody else. You know, there's times we get occupied with other things.
Yeah.
But going back to planting trees, it's so important to do that. And go to takingroot.org. And when you plant a tree, register that tree. And let's help obtain that goal. 2 million trees by the year 2020.
Now, will we be able to re-register the new trees when we put the new trees back in?
You know,
that's
a good question, because you're replacing trees that were lost, but still, nonetheless, if it's a new tree, why not register it?
I think so.
It's part of the goal.
Right.
And just go out on our Facebook page, but it was devastating to see that. It was a crying shame. Incredible.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we've been talking about something Tony's got up on our Facebook page for the vandalism over in Covington on Holman Avenue. And someone just went through, apparently with a machete or a hatchet or a hacksaw or something, and cut down a bunch of trees that had just been planted 2 years ago. And it just absolutely senseless. It's one of those things that you just look at and wonder. I mean, I understand the mischiefness of youth, but that's just not,
it's uncalled for.
Yeah, that's really not soaping windows, you know?
No, that's
used to do back
then. That's very destructive.
Not that we used to do that kind of stuff, but never to deliberately tear something up. But I noticed, you know, on the pictures they all had watering bags on the bottom of those.
Yeah,
what's the story on that?
Well, the watering bags, you know, you'll find those at your local garden centers and nurseries. What they are, in some situations, you're not always there and able to water when necessary. But the beauty of the watering bags is, you know, they'll hold X number of gallons of water,
right,
and they'll disperse that slowly and evenly around the base of the tree and keep it adequately, you know, moist, so to speak, especially going through the summer months. And it's a nice tool to have.
Right.
You'll see that go under a couple different names, like Gator Bag. Also, DeWitt has one out. So does Border Concepts. They're all pretty much the same. You will also find them perhaps in a donut-type shape form.
Donut.
But nonetheless, something that's very beneficial, and if you want to plant a tree in the summer months, and you know that, for example, let's just say you might have a camp or something, and you want to plant some trees, and you're not always there.
Right.
That's where these water bags really come into play.
Nice.
You know, they're very beneficial. But, yeah, I'm glad you noticed that, as a matter of fact.
I'm observant.
They're well worth the price. You'll find them for around $20-$25, maybe.
Oh, really?
Give or take. But yeah, definitely worth having. They are. They're real easy to install. They usually come with a zipper that goes up one side. You know, just you zip it up,
right,
and you fill it up, and it just evenly disperses the water around the base of the tree, the trunk of the tree, to where it just gets in there and it's nice and even versus it running off rather quickly.
Sure. And something else I want to draw attention to on our In and Around the House Facebook page, this endless summer hydrangea
bloom. Did you see those?
They're as big as your head.
Oh, they were...
Well, maybe not that big, but they're huge.
Yeah, they are. Onto a high note, a better note. Ernie's referring to these huge hydrangea blooms that a customer had cut that morning. Do you know Mike Lefebvre?
I do. I just saw him yesterday.
Yeah. And he's like, Tony, can you send these to my wife, Monica, downtown at her place of work? I'm like, yeah, we can do that. So we arranged it and added a couple other items to it. And right out of her garden.
Oh.
Right down to her desktop at work.
I was going to ask you where Lefebvre got those. Did he just pull over in somebody's house and cut them?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I asked him the same thing. You did get those out of your yard, right? Because I put it on Facebook. But they were just gorgeous.
Yeah.
I look at that. A beautiful pink color. Now, that pink color, does that tell you anything with the hydrangea?
Yes.
What is it?
It's coming to me. It has something to do with the pH level in the soil. Am I correct?
Yes.
See?
So that higher the pH, that more alkaline that the soil
that
is.
That was the word I was struggling for, alkaline.
I like alkaline batteries. No, just kidding. They'll be, they'll bloom pink.
Right.
When you lower that pH, you're getting to the blue colors.
Right.
But still, they're beautiful. Whatever color they are, they're still beautiful.
Yeah.
And, boy, just to be able to cut those out of your own garden. And really, you would only need like one or two of those blooms just for your table.
Sure. It just doesn't look like the container that you have them in is going to hold them. They're gigantic.
No, there were several blooms there, stunning. And he was in the store the day before.
Mm-hmm.
When I say we're talking about Mike Lefebvre, and he goes, Tony, I'm going to cut some of Monica's hydrangea blooms, and will you arrange them and take them over to her? And I'm like, yeah, bring them on down. I said, when you cut them, put them in water right away.
Yeah.
And they were gorgeous. Drop dead gorgeous. That's
very
that's
nice.
What a hydrangea should look like.
And what a great idea, too, to take something out of someone's garden, and then because you know she's going to
Well, he took them out of his own garden, not out of someone else's.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Out of your wife or your significant other's garden. And
sure.
Then send it to them at work. That's a fabulous gift idea. Then they get a chance to brag about their
own garden. Yeah. Their own successes. Absolutely.
And have it there at work.
Yes.
Nicely done, Mr. Lefebvre.
Yes, good job.
That.
Kudos to you, Mike.
Mm-hmm. 749-B105, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, and got a lot of ground to cover today. It's going to be gorgeous outside the next 3 or 4 days. Make sure you get out and enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
Tend to the garden, to the flower beds.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, and hey, it's summertime, and what's the summertime fruit?
Watermelon.
Well, yeah, watermelon is. Yeah. I agree with you. I'm thinking tomato, brother.
Oh.
The good old tomato. A lot of people are starting to pick. They're turning red. They're ripening up. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm ready for it.
Man, if
like
that doesn't
BLT
say summer,
sandwich?
That BLT, that's exactly what I want to ask you.
Yeah. No
BLT.
No man.
Big little
no
time. Big little time. Bacon, lettuce, tomato.
Yeah.
Are you a real mayo or are you a
No, I'm a no condiment kind of guy.
Really?
Yeah. Just the bacon, lettuce, and tomato on the wheat bread.
You just said, I thought you said mayo. You
no,
said tomato.
No, tomato.
You're kidding me.
No, I wouldn't.
That's the
you.
Most, that's one of the most important key elements of that sandwich.
I don't know why, I just can't.
Are you the guy that goes through drive-thru and orders the cheeseburger with that's plain? We would call that, when I worked at McDonald's when I was in high school, a Sybil.
A Sybil?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's not right. It's got something on it. I don't know.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, when I go through something like that, I have to repeat that 5 or 6 times. Plain. No cheese. Cheese only. Got it? Plain. Cheese only.
So you're the guy who gets through drive through about 2:30 in the morning? I want a cheeseburger with cheese.
Guilty as charged.
All right. You got to have mayo. I don't care what you say. It has to be real mayo. Hellman's, by the way. Talking about the tomato, I'm thinking of salsa.
Oh.
Love salsa. What about you? Chips and salsa?
No.
No?
I'm a salsa guy. But wow. Now Lisa will
you
get together.
You know, I really feel for you. I can't believe that.
I've lived a sheltered life.
As big as you are and all the stuff that you've been known to eat, yeah. to mankind,
yeah.
mayo's off your list.
yeah. And I'm not a salsa guy.
Wow.
I know.
I've known you for how long? And I can't, it's the first time I've ever heard you say that. I didn't even know that.
My wife, Lisa, makes her own salsa, homemade. Her and Sherry Burdett will get together, and it's like a machine in our kitchen over there.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. I think I'm going to turn this whole conversation around and go the other way.
Well, it is bacon, lettuce, and tomato season.
But boy, I think you're missing out. You know, I'm thinking salsa with green onions, fresh cilantro.
I'm listening.
I'm fresh waiting for squeezed lime and a little jalapeno. Or maybe serrano. You're not in. Now, do you like cilantro, by the way?
I'm not really sure. I guess I do. I mean, what's it in?
Well, you'll find it in a number of different dishes, you know,
I'm better
cuisine.
Off if I don't know it. If I don't know what's in there.
Well, the reason why I was asking, because if you were familiar with what cilantro is, a lot of people.
It's a spice, right?
It's an herb.
Well,
it can be a spice.
Oh. Now I'm confused. Because I've got this one friend of mine, Mike Schutzman, who will. Whenever a bunch of us go out to eat or something, he'll always ask about whether or not it has cilantro in it.
You know, a lot of people, that's where I was headed with this, because a lot of people, you know, they don't like cilantro. They think it kind of tastes gritty or like, someone told me like dirt. I'm like, what?
Mm.
Oh, it's just great with lime juice, tomato, all mixed in together.
Huh.
I like it. So I wish you liked it or salsa. But, you know, again, I don't want to turn this conversation around because it's tomato time.
Yeah.
And now, I have
learned to love tomatoes. And that has only been of recently, I guess I should say. Those were one of those things where I was just never attracted to it. It just always seemed, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. But that's one of the things Lisa's changed about my diet.
I could just take a bagel, toast a bagel, put tomato on it. With basil or cilantro, and just eat it just like that. Maybe a little drizzle it with a little bit of olive oil, or maybe add a little bit of a fig balsamic vinaigrette to it. That's tasty. That's good eating right there. Well, no, I just like that kind of stuff.
But it is tomato season.
And it is.
So did you have a big turnout in your tomatoes?
You know, I don't have any ripe tomatoes yet.
Oh, okay.
And for this reason only, because I plant it late.
Right.
I'm usually always behind, but I'll have tomatoes later. And they're looking good, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, do
you plant the ugly ones? I can't remember.
Lisa. Well, what's an ugly one? I don't understand that.
Well, when we were talking about this down at the lake where our friend Sherry Burdett and Rick and a couple of other people down there.
Is that Sherry Burdett the one that leaves the light on for you?
No.
Do you ever? Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's Steve Burdett. They called them something else, but when
heirloom tomatoes.
No, they had a nickname for them, but it's usually the ones that people don't buy because they're not attractive, but they're great for everything.
They're
else.
Gnarly,
gnarly.
Yeah, they're gnarly tomatoes. I don't know.
When she gets up, I'll have to.
No, leave Lisa out of it. This is between you and I. We're talking about tomatoes. You just started to discover here late in your life.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, and I love them. You know, now they're really
a little
tasty.
Bit of salt. Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
But you know, been getting a lot of tomato questions too in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
So, are we going to take a quick break?
We're
going to come back out of the break. We'll talk about some of the things you need to know about what's going on with your tomatoes and how you can go and take care of those issues.
Tony and Ernie, in and around the house, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we've been talking about the tomato. You say tomato, I say tomato. And Tony says delicioso.
Yes, I love them.
Hey.
It's that time of year. It's a summertime fruit. That's all I can say.
It is. And it's often mistaken as a vegetable or vegetable, as my mom used to say.
I know. because every time you see the word vegetable, usually there's a tomato in that picture.
Somewhere
it's
in
close
that picture.
To the word vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people think that. I've heard people say that, I've heard somebody call macaroni and cheese a vegetable one time. I was like, really? I swear, I'm not, and I'm not going to call that person out.
I would.
But I really did. Like, wait a minute.
But you know,
right now, this time of year, a lot of people will come into the garden center and they have a lot of concerns. They have a lot of issues with their tomato plants.
Mm-hmm.
And first and foremost, the one thing I want to put some emphasis on is if you're planting your tomatoes in the same place year after year after year, that's setting the stage up for you to have some issues when it comes to diseases.
Okay.
And it's important, you know, even the farmers, you know, they talk about rotating their crops. And when you do that, you start setting yourself up, and all of a sudden, these disease issues become soil-borne. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it. Now, a lot of times, you know, you can take some precautionary methods or approaches to keeping diseases at bay, so to speak. A lot of people like to use copper fungicide. You know, that's an organic way to do it.
Uh-huh.
People also like to use mancozeb. That's another good product that keeps, you know, issues like that, diseases at bay. But a lot of times you'll notice when you start seeing your lower leaves or some of the leaves starting to, like, curl up, turn yellow, get some really funky-looking black spots or lesions on it, discard those. Get rid of those. And do not allow those to lie around on the ground in your garden beds throughout the winter months, because what happens? It just harbors that disease, and it's there next year. So there's a lot of things that you need to do from a cultural standpoint when it comes to practicing, you know, being, you know, sanitizing or sanitation in the garden, keeping it clean. That's where a lot of that those issues come from.
Turning the soil over, meaning not just rolling it under the ground. Sometimes you have to remove it and then start mending it.
Just getting rid of those leaves that are infected. You know, you know, a lot of times, a few years ago, wasn't long, you'll see where your tomato plants just from, they go from 50 mile an hour to zero. When I say that, it's like all of a sudden they're yellow, they're brown, they're wilted, the leaves are curled up or whatever. It could be a blight. It could be a late season blight. And when you start having issues like that, that is not good. And a lot of times that's brought on by, you know, cool, damp weather, humidity levels where they're really high and dampness. So make sure you get plenty of air movement in the garden around your plants. Don't keep them too crowded. Give them a little bit of space.
Right.
That's very important. You know, a lot of times, too, you'll see these little brown, small, circular spots on the leaves that can also develop into an early type of blight situation. Usually, that's termed septoria leaf blight, or leaf spot, I should say. And these are just things that you need to pay attention to so you don't run into those issues with your tomatoes. Just rotate them. And, you know, something else, too, that little black sunken lesion on the bottom of the fruit,
right,
that's blossom end rot.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times that's caused by, for the most part, a lack of calcium in the soil. And when there's a lack of calcium, as that fruit's developing, you'll start seeing this little sunken black lesions. So that's very, very important to make sure there's adequate calcium in the soil when you're planting. That's why I like Aspomus tomato tone.
Mm-hmm.
It has a nice element of calcium to it, very beneficial. Also, irregular watering habits, going from extreme dry to extreme wet, causes a lot of those issues. Even though calcium might be available to the plant itself, if it's dry for a period of time, it's not drawing it up.
Mm-hmm. So what's the first plant you should put in if you notice that, okay, I've been planting tomatoes here for the sun forever and having these issues? Is there one plant to put in there for a year better than anything else if you're going to rotate the crop, so to speak?
Well, yeah, there's other things that you can plant. I mean, you can plant like green beans, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever, okra, you know, just start changing things up a little bit. If you like okra, you know, I'm always trying to grow something different just to see how it behaves and what's going on. Eggplant, you know, a lot of people, they like eggplant. A lot of people don't like eggplant. You know, a lot of people are like, it doesn't really have a taste to it. I like eggplant.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but
I do.
Cool plant. Sometimes people will have issues with it with flea beetles. You know, they just, flea beetles are all over the eggplant.
Gotcha. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And Tony, we have Dave from Hebron on the line who's got a spruce tree that has some issues and thinks it's some sort of disease. How old is the spruce tree, Dave?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing wonderful. Good. How old is the tree?
Tree is probably been in the ground about 5 years.
Oh, so you put it in the ground?
Well, I transplanted, yes.
You transplanted it. Okay. And was it healthy prior to that, or do you?
Yeah, it was great. It was okay. Probably a 6 foot bald tree, beautiful blue spruce.
You know,
I transplanted probably 7 of them at the time, and lost one in between there. But just this one blue spruce, it just really got hit real hard, and a lot of dead growth on the tree, and some little, they almost look like bagworms hanging down, and I'm not sure how to treat it.
Yeah, the bagworms can just be devastating on a blue spruce and a lot of other evergreen species as well. And the thing of it is, you want to go after the bagworms when they're in their young life cycle. And typically, they'll start out on top of the leaves on some plants, some tree species, for example. I have a Japanese maple. 1 year, I noticed them on top of the leaves. They look like little dunce caps. And that's when they're young and on the move and trying to set up home or set up shop. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're hanging, and then they just start developing. And they'll strip evergreens like lickety-split. And in that particular case, you know, you want to spray them to get rid of them. And in some situations, if the tree is so large, you can't get up high in it and spray or pick them off, you know, it makes it even more difficult to control those. And the larger the bag, Dave, the more developed they are, the more difficult it is to get rid of them.
I would say the bag is
an
triangular
inch,
shape,
yeah,
double-sided, you know, and then it's about maybe about an inch long, total length of it from tip to tip.
Yeah. How tall are the trees?
They're pushing 10 foot, maybe, 11 foot.
You know, if you can get a large kind of stepladder and get close to it, pick them off. You know, with the larger the bagworm sack, the more difficult. Mm-hmm. They're protected in there when you try to spray.
Okay.
You know, in the early life stage or cycle of the bagworm, spinosad is a great product to use. It's a safe product to use. And, you know, try and pick off as many of those as you possibly can, because they will defoliate a blue spruce so quickly. It's like, forget it. Once they're defoliated, right, they don't put on that new growth where they've been defoliated.
Okay. What was the product, Tony?
Spinosad is a good product to use. Malathion, you know, you could use that. Do not use anything with an oil, because an oil will change the color of the spruce tree.
Okay.
And the other thing I'd like for you to do, Dave, is you're out there in Boone County, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take a sample over to the extension office and see Joe or Mike Clare, and just make sure there's some other issues that have been going on with blue spruces. In addition to, you know, you could have insect issues with spider mite or bagworms, as you're describing. Also, diplodia is a tip disease. Diplodia tip blight has been a problem here recently. And also, you know, you may have some issues with rhizosphera. It's another type of disease, needle cast.
Okay.
So trying to eliminate, make sure we only have one thing going on is kind of the essence, you know. Sometimes it can be multiple things. And that's what I want you to find out. Make sure it's not just the bagworms.
That's a good idea.
And a lot of times, trees like this, they're afflicted in such a way because they're stressed. You know, they could be around several other the similar species, and the other 5 or 6 look great, but that one has been picked on because it's stressed.
Hmm. So what's the chances of this jumping from tree to tree?
It could. It's, you know, usually they're feeding on a tree for a period of time, but it could very easily go to another tree if they're close by in proximity.
All right, Malathion.
Yep, Malathion, Spinosa when they're in a younger stage. And again, when those bagworms are of size, that bagworm or that bag that the little worm's in, it protects them. It keeps the spray off of them. So you're better off trying to pick off as many as you possibly can.
Okay, that sounds like a plan then.
And please take some pictures, post them on our Facebook, and let us kind of keep up with you and see how it's going.
I'll do it. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, thanks, take a good sample out to the extension office and just make sure that everything else is kosher.
I'll I'll do it.
All right, thanks. Take care.
Thanks.
Okay. Yeah.
749 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Need to pause. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And as Ernie was saying a little while ago, it's just going to be a beautiful day, beautiful weekend, less humidity since that rain and that little storm activity went through yesterday. I think that's what's setting it all up for us, Ernie.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. It looks really nice out there. So I haven't been out since we came in this morning. Unlike you, you're always in and out. You just came in. You just came in from outside, didn't you?
But the weather forecast is perfect. Temperatures expected to be in the low to mid 80s. Very low humidity for the next 4 days. So get out and enjoy it and have some fun.
Yeah, boy. You know, we were talking to Dave about those bagworms. They can be a nightmare. They really can. Uh-huh. And they're best when they're in their young, you know, larval stages of their life cycle. That's when they're better and easier to, it's best and easier to control those guys. And, you know, just doing it with a number of different things. But as they start to get older and they set up a shop or home, so to speak, with that nice bag that protects them, that makes it more difficult to control them later in the season. July and August, it's very tough to effectively control bagworms. So pick those things off. Don't let them set up. They'll defoliate your stuff quickly.
And they don't make good bait. I don't think so.
That I don't know. Did you ever try taking it to the lake?
Just as a kid, yeah. You know, just as a kid growing up, we always thought that was going to be a great source, but I don't ever remember catching anything on them.
I don't know.
So get rid of them.
Get rid of them, that's for sure. Boy, a lot of other things we can be doing right now, too, especially going into a really nice weekend. Those of us who like to stay on top of things and keep weed seed from potentially germinating in our landscape beds, now is a good time to apply, you know, Dimension, or Preen or whatever. But Dimension I like better because it lasts a month longer, because a lot of things start to get into the lawn and start to set up later in the landscape beds in the season. And as that prodiamine wears down, you know, it's in the first step of the Fertilume three-step lawn fertilizer program. Things can sneak in under the radar, so to speak.
Sure.
So just keep that in mind. Now's a good time to put down Dimension again.
So you brought up the lawn. We are now into the second weekend of July. And what about our lawns? When do we take a look at retreating any of that? I mean, I've had some instance where some of that creeping Charlie's coming back in from untreated areas in the back.
Well, you know, temperatures are of the essence. And in your particular situation, I would be looking to treat the creeping Charlie later in the summer going into the fall season.
Okay.
That's where you're going to be most effective, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because as things start to shut down, you know, things start to translocate downward into the root structure, and you're spraying it at that time late in the season, you're more effective when you're trying to get rid of it. Or the second best time to do it's in the spring when it's in bloom, because a lot of energy is being exerted in the bloom period. And those are the two best times to go after it if you really want.
So wait a little bit in the fall.
Yeah, absolutely. And also keep in mind, you know, we talk about temperatures. When it's really overly hot and you're pushing 85, 90, be careful. Just be careful, because you're more apt to do harm to the lawn than you are getting rid of what you're trying to spray.
Gotcha.
So,
'cause I just noticed that when I was out cutting the grass the other day after we returned back from vacation. And I thought, well, I was up there back along the back part of the fence.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there was a little bit of that creeping Charlie coming, making its way back into the back part of the yard.
It'll do it. It will sneak back in on you, Ernie. So you got to stay on your game. Definitely have to stay on your game.
I do.
But going back to the turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper, that is a high yield product. It's in the Fertilume family. You know, they all fall under the name VPG. So look for that product at your local garden centers and nurseries. You're only going to find it at your local garden centers and nurseries. And it has the product in it called Dimension. So go ahead, get that second application down in your landscape beds. And you can also use it in your turf. So in the lawn, you can keep other things from sneaking in.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you a little bit of extra coverage. It will take you longer into the season. So think about it. We're in July. You're going to have July, August, September, October. 4 months protection all the way through October. You can't beat that.
No, not at all.
So keep those weeds out of your lawn, and your lawn to thank you for it. That's for sure. Talking about lawn maintenance a little bit, you know, we've been very fortunate. We've had some good moisture. We've had some excellent moisture here as of lately. So things are looking good from that aspect. Last week when you were out of town, we had a nice soaking rain.
I heard that.
And my lawn's green, it's growing, and I need to mow it in the worst way. And, it rained yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to do it. But, you know, remember to mow high. Mm-hmm. Mow it at the tallest setting or the second tallest setting. No, mow high. You got it. And make sure that your lawnmower blade is sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Very important.
We water when we need to, and that's it. Stay the course. Do not fertilize. Wait until we get into the fall season, right there around the beginning of September,
mm-hmm.
and then sometime in the middle of November. And that is the best time to get into the Fertilume three-step program. And you do those things, you'll have a very nice, healthy, happy lawn. And you'll be proud of your lawn. So you don't really need to pay somebody to do it unless you absolutely do not have the time.
Yeah, and trying to make the time. It's so relaxing doing it yourself. And I know we always joke a lot about being the happy homeowner and all the work that you have to
mm-hmm.
do. But it does have a tendency to relax. And then when you set out on that porch and look over your work, you go, this is nice.
Looks
pretty
nice.
Save myself some money.
Absolutely. And something else is starting to pose a little bit of a problem for homeowners in the lawn is nutsedge. For the first time in a number of years, I think I've really got it under control.
Oh.
And it takes a couple of years to really stay with it and not throw in the towel, so to speak, but staying on top of it. I have just a real little bit, and I am so pleased that I've stayed with it. You have to. Sometimes it could take 2 to 3 seasons to keep it under control, because when you spray it, you're only getting rid of the main plant, and there's still those little nutlet bulbs that are underneath the soil surface that will sprout up next season.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. High yield makes the nutsedge control, comes in a real little packet. It mixes up exactly 1 gallon, and you need to add a sticker spreader to that. The surfactant is so important. If you do not, it does not stick to that waxy blade very well.
Sure.
It just repels off.
And there's a really easy way to recognize what that nutsedge is and what it looks like, right? It outgrows everything else.
That it does. Quickly. You'll notice it. It outraces the rest of the turf. There's no doubt about it.
You can cut your grass and go, just cut that. And come back 2 days later and there's this thing that's twice the size of your grass shooting up out of the middle of your grass.
Today would be a great day to do it because the temperatures are, you know, they're going to be pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, and most importantly, we had that rain just recently yesterday. Mm-hmm. So when things have been watered or, you know, there's moisture present a couple of days before you apply any type of product, the better it is, the more effective that it is. So, and also, most importantly, try not to mow 2 days prior to the application
mm-hmm.
and 2 days after the application. And think of it like this. The more blade surface that you have, the better the product gets into it. There's more surface space.
Right.
Surface area, I should say. So, it's that little lime green guy that just outraces or outpaces the rest of the turf. And if you're not sure, refrain from pulling it, but pull one. And if the stem on it is triangular in shape, that's a telltale sign that it's nutsedge.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. You can get all that info and the products at your local home and garden center. So make sure you visit a locally owned, independently operated garden center. And jump on our Facebook page. We've had a lot of activity on it. A lot of visits to our local leaders. And then Tony's got a beautiful picture of just gigantic blooms of the summer hydrangeas. Is that
endless summer?
Yes. And then of course the vandalism over in Covington. We're not going to forget about that, and we are going to find a way to help those guys. So make sure that you follow along and check us out. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. Your local home and garden guys need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. Your local home and garden guys. We're doing the happy summer dance.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That time of year.
Beautiful weather for the next 4 days or so. Looks for sunshine, temperatures hovering in the mid to upper 80s, somewhere in that area. Nice, very low humidity for the first couple of days, and great to get to your local home and garden center. Still plenty of time to fine-tune your landscape beds and some of your planters. And
yeah, freshen them up. Yeah. Pick up some merchandise, you know, different plants. If you need to remove something out of one of your pots, your containers, mm-hmm. your window box, go mm-hmm. ahead and do that. Sometimes we have to do that. So it's we're in maintenance mode.
Yes.
That's where we are. This time of year, it's maintenance mode. You're kind of looking things over, you know, just carrying things out.
We also talk about keeping your journal, too. It'd be a great time to update your journal. Here's what worked this spring. Here's what didn't work. And here's where I thought might be a good place for that to be, and it just didn't work out that
way. You know, I need to do that because I planted up something different this year in a combination
uh-huh.
that is not working too well. And it's an elephant ear.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know the exact name of it, but it has a very dark black stem. And mm-hmm. most of your elephant ears will tolerate some sun. This one does not.
Mm.
And I planted it with black petunias, black velvet petunias.
Yeah.
And like a white-colored lantana. I forgot the name of the actual plant itself. But I love lantana. It takes the heat. It's just a top performer.
Right.
So I had this combination, and I used the black velvet petunias to match up, you know, with the black stem on the elephant ear,
mm-hmm.
and they're just not getting along together.
They're not good roommates.
No, and it's like, wow, I thought I had this cool idea, but obviously this particular collocation just does not like
it's all my son it's because all
it gets leaf scorched, yeah. and I'm like, boy, did I ever mess up. Mm-hmm.
Now, we had some great success. And remember, in the spring, if you haven't been to our Facebook page, Tony came over to Lisa and I's house early in the spring, and we went over a couple of things. And one of them was the south side of the house, where we had some plants there, and we also couldn't grow anything because I thought it was a good idea to empty the fireplace over there, and it wasn't. So it took me quite some time to get all of that emptied, get all of the ash out, and then went back, tilled it, thanks to my neighbor Joe Nuxall for letting me use his tiller, and then we turned it over a couple of times, started amending the soil with some peat and some topsoil, and continued to work it, turning it over and over, and then we thought, well, we're ready. So we went down to Jackson, picked up some cannas bulbs, and got those in the ground, and I'm happy to report that they're up about a foot and a half tall, looking great, really strong, in the perfect place, and can't wait for them to bloom. But that's probably going to be next year, don't you think? I don't think they'll bloom this year, will they?
You know, time will tell.
Well, thank you.
Time to tell. Mr.
Obvious.
Well,
but I mean, expect them. We were late getting them in the ground.
You were a little late getting them in the ground. But
that's because
it could be
summer.
Later, right? Yeah. It could be later. So mm-hmm. it varies.
Right.
You will need to lift those. And some people, you know, when they plant the cannas, they leave them in the ground throughout the whole year
right. And
go through the winter months. Very fortunate that they can last for some people because
sure.
they could very easily freeze out. So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Even the calla lilies. A lot of people leave those in the ground year-round, and they do, in fact, come back. There are some situations, if it's a severe enough winter, they won't make it. So just be prepared. Are you going to lift yours, or are you going to leave them in the ground?
I think we're going to lift them, but when we were down at Cumberland, our friend Lisa Clark has them, and those elephant ears, and they're just beautiful, huge, looking healthy. And we posed that question to her, said, do you take all these out during the winter? And she said, no, what I do is cut them back and then cover that with a tarp for the winter.
Then cover it with a tarp.
Cover that bed with a tarp for the
mm-hmm.
winter
mm-hmm.
and then come back and in the spring, lift it. And
where is this exactly?
Down in Cumberland.
Yeah, a little south of here. You can get away with that.
Can you?
Oh, yeah, okay. Absolutely. Just 3 hours south of here is night and day. Just to give an example, a lot of people like pompous grass.
Uh-huh.
Cordaderia. Okay, there's the white, there's the pink. Thing of it is, up here, you used to always hear people say, I want pompous grass. we've, you know, come to find out, we are as far north as you want to push that.
Normally, they just tell me I'm a pompous.
Yeah, I got it. Not grass.
Yeah,
I got it. Very good. It's that comedian in you coming out.
So 3 hours south of here is a different region. Is that right?
Absolutely. It totally is. And pompous grass. I just remember one year I was down at Wisdom Boat Dock, and it's like, whoa, that stuff is beautiful. And it was huge, you know, and based on the size of the pompous grass, you know, I could tell it's been in a while. It's been there for a period of time.
Right.
But, south of here, down in that area, southern Kentucky.
A different region, different zones.
Okay, yeah, so absolutely.
Then we are going to have to lift those bulbs. And what do you suggest we do with them then?
Well, then you store them, you know, which we've talked about that. You store that, you know, you can lift those, leave them kind of like in a clump and store them in a cool, dry place. A lot of people will lift those. They'll kind of tap and get the soil off of them. They'll store them in a little bit of peat moss, just ever so slightly moist, you know, where they're in a basement at a constant temperature. And then the next season, they bring those out.
Boy, I sure wish I had a fruit cellar, you know, because my mom and dad used to use that. I guess that's pretty much what that was for back in the day, is that's where they would store all of their bulbs that they would pull out of the ground at the end of the season, put them down there, and then go get them, bring
them back.
Stays
constant. Well, it's just like your basement. Mm-hmm. So your garage, you know, where the Harley is.
Yeah,
well. Yeah, take them down there. But, you know, you might also try and leave a couple there. You know, when I say that, the cannas.
Sure.
Just to see what happens.
Okay.
So it's Russian roulette, brother.
No. I've invested too much time and energy in it now. I've got to take care of them.
And because, you know, you want those cannas to get older, age, larger, you can divide those, and then you'll have a bigger plant the next season. So that's where all that comes into play instead of you buying them every year.
Yep. I like that idea. You know, speaking of the basement, just before I went on vacation, we had a listener call in and give me the phone number of some chimney expert, and I have lost it somewhere. So if that person could give us a call back and or send us a message on Facebook. The issue that I'm having is that we have two fireplaces, two wood burners, one downstairs, one upstairs. And if you have a fireplace or have a fire in the fireplace upstairs, some of the smoke seeps back downstairs. Not much, but enough that you can walk through and go, man. You know, I smell that from where I shouldn't be.
Yeah, that's a drafting issue of some sort.
So I don't know if I have to raise a part of the chimney flue or what, but if there's an expert out there, I'd like to get some insight.
Interesting. So, I do remember, like finding a needle in a haystack right now.
Sure.
I personally, you got to call in. You got to help Ernie out.
Well, I kept it, and then went through and cleaned a bunch of stuff out after I got back from vacation. And apparently, I wasn't too sharp when
I do that often. And all of a sudden, my wallet with all that stuff in it's going through the wash or
all
couple,
that money.
Couple, yeah, I like clean money. You're right. I just wash my money. You know, so gosh, I've done it where we have like red load slips at the garden center. And if I wash one of those in my shorts, it's all over. They're like,
forget it.
They're pink. Can't wear those. No way.
That's funny.
I've been there. I do that often. Yeah. And it's just things like that slip my mind. But anyway, I'm still trying to, you know, we were talking about different combinations and maintaining plants and so forth. Mm-hmm. I was trying to look up a little bit of information on the black stem elephant ear because I certainly would have thought that that bad Oscar would have taken a little bit more sun than what it does. But it's just, it's blown my whole color scheme out of the water.
Sure.
And it just. Mm.
Well, the two of those we got earlier in the spring, we had huge success with one of them. It took a little while before it took off, planted them in the same spot.
The upright.
The back of the house and the uprights. And,
the uprights take a little longer.
Well, so we should leave that because one of them hasn't done anything yet. One of them has bloom, or not blooms, but has foliage on it about a foot and a half tall. And the other one's just sort of still sitting there. So I don't know if I did something wrong or if it's just.
You just bought bad bulbs at Jackson's Forks. I don't know. They're not staying too wet, are they? I mean, they'll take some moisture there as they come on, but.
That might be a part of the issue.
But a lot of times, too, things have to be just right for those elephant ears.
Yeah.
And the uprights, the calocasias, what we're talking about, they take a little bit more heat, you know. It takes them a little bit longer to break dormancy, but when they do, they just come on like gangbusters.
Right. So we'll hang on for that one.
Hang on. We'll take care of you. And actually, when we have Jerome Mingfeld in from Netherland Bob, you can ask him, what's going on?
That's a good idea.
That's who I buy him from.
Yeah. You know, we do need to schedule him back in pretty soon and get caught up with him sometime in August, because that's when
later in the season we'll talk about fall bulbs. That's the time to do that, you know, for the spring color. And also, you know, we'll talk more about storing your summer bulbs, your spring bulbs, and what you need to do. And that's what we're talking about with the cannas.
And we've got to make our way back out to see Todd, I think, out at Baton's, and take a look at some of his progress on the mums, because he had a tremendous setup out there.
Oh, yeah. A lot of mum growers here in the tri-state area. A lot of great mum growers. There really are.
It's a lot more complicated than what I thought it was. It just seemed like, simpleton mind. Oh, you just put them in here and you let them go.
No, you need to pinch them back a couple of times. There's a whole process. And talking about mums, I'm glad you said that, because as a homeowner, if you have mums in your landscape, do not pinch them back now. This is July 4th, usually the last weekend to do that.
Oh, really?
So we're right there. If you're going to do it and be done. And they'll come on for you and bloom in the fall.
So if you haven't done it, leave them alone?
Well, what's today? The 8th, 9th?
Tonight.
July 4th weekend is kind of like the last time.
Close.
Yeah, but I still think you're fine. Do it if you're going to do it. If not, then let it roll.
Let's touch base on that when we come back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Getting a little crazy. Thought I'd sneak that in for you, Lena. Tony, we have Lena on the line from Walton. She's got a tree and a hydrangea question. Good morning, Lena. Thanks for giving us a call.
Morning. I love the Patrick Klein.
I knew you would. I knew you would. So what kind of problems you having with your tree and your hydrangea?
Well, we live on like a downward slope backyard. And so, like, at the bottom of it, it gets a lot of water. And I tried to plant a couple apple trees there, and they just get way too much water. So I didn't know, you know, when it rains really heavily, of course, but I didn't know what kind of trees would be good, because we need some shade in our backyard.
You know, that's a great question. And a lot of times when you mention things of the sort, just as you're talking about, where water pools a little bit after a heavy downpour, people automatically think, oh, I'm going to put a weeping willow down there. And it's going to soak up all my woes and all my water problems. And I just want to put some emphasis on this. That's the furthest from the truth. But here's the beauty of a weeping willow, or perhaps a river birch, or you name it. Those trees can tolerate moisture better, more so than other trees. So they're not the type of trees that's going to soak it all up and we don't have a water problem anymore. But if you want to plant something down in that area that can tolerate a little bit of moisture, you know, the river birch is one. You know, some of the honey locust, shade master will tolerate a little bit of water. Some oaks will tolerate some water. Some of the maples, you know, those guys, the willows. They'll take some moisture, but nothing really wants to sit in that kind of stuff.
Okay.
It's just one of those situations. And but if you really have a lot of water that pools there, what you might want to do and think about first is setting up some sort of a French drain kind of setup that will take that water away and it won't be as wet.
Okay. Yeah, because it's like our backyard's a slope, and then it almost levels off. So that's why it just sits there. And it's right by the water line, you know, because our backyard and then the people behind us, their backyards, we meet up by the water line. So.
Huh.
No, and, you know, you can plant, like, a couple of those trees I just mentioned, they'll take it. You know, like the river birch, for example. What it will do when it gets really overly wet and stays wet for a period of time, it'll yellow, some of the leaves will turn yellow and they'll drop. When it's dry for a period of time, some of the leaves will yellow and they'll drop. That tree is incredible the way it behaves, because it'll tell you if it's been too dry. It will also tell you if it's been too wet. So it's amazing. And but those trees will tolerate those kind of situations.
Okay, good. Yeah. And, we get sun in our backyard all day. So we just need a little bit of shade.
Yeah, and take some pictures, Lena, if you can, and post them to our Facebook page, and then we might have a better way of viewing that and seeing what we could help you do. But what kind of hydrangea problems are you having?
Well, I just planted vanilla strawberries, and then I heard you all talk about, you know, the color changing with the pH, alkalinity, and the soil and everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, there are the ones where it's kind of pink at the bottom, then they... you know, almost ombre to white up top. So how do I know that that'll be that? Does that make sense? Like, can I control my pH?
Well, in your particular situation with vanilla strawberry, you're not. It's a different type. It's a totally different type of hydrangea. And what it's going to do, it's going to open up white, a creamy color. And as we progress through the summer months and go towards the fall season, it's going to turn that beautiful kind of a raspberry strawberry red.
Okay.
So that has it will not have anything to do with pH. So you're off the hook.
Okay, good.
So and that's a beautiful specimen, by the way. And a little tip with the vanilla strawberry, those blooms will be quite large. You know, when you start seeing that happen, is it setting up bud yet?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It was pretty big when I got them at Baton, and we got three of them because we put them at the end of our deck, and they grow like up to 6 feet, which is pretty much how far it is off the ground. And we wanted to cover the underneath, so yeah, they were pretty big, and they're already blooming the white. And then when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, I really hope they don't stay white. You know,
No. They will gradually change color. They'll turn that reddy strawberry color. So it's totally different than the Endless Summer, the other, you know, the macrophyllas, that where the color is really controlled by the pH. You don't need to do anything at all. But my tip for you is this. As that shrub gets a little older, you know, prune some of it down late winter, early spring.
Mm-hmm.
To keep it, what I'm trying to get you to do is build up the lower base of that shrub where it's stronger and it holds those blooms better. Because when those bloom heads are large, they're beautiful, they're spectacular, and they'll make one heck of a show. But when you get those hard rains and everything, they'll want to flop over. So what I'm trying to get you to do is encourage you to strengthen the inner structure of that shrub, the where it holds those, you know, blooms upright better.
Okay.
So yeah, that's a great one right there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, take some pictures and post them to our Facebook page. We'd love to follow along.
I will, yeah, because we have trouble down at that area just because it gets so moist in the, you know, when it rains, it just kind of settles there. So it's really hard. So, I'll post some pictures, and then because we kind of want to do a couple flower beds along the fence line, so maybe you guys could help me with that.
Sure, be happy to.
Perfect, awesome.
All right, Lena, thank you so much for the call.
Thanks again. Good talking to you guys.
Right. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Thank you, too. Bye.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We've got Jeff, please hold on the line. We'll come to you right out of the break. Welcome back, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And Tony, if you had an issue like Lena has out in Walton, where you have a slope at the back part of the yard, what do you think you would plant there? What tree would you put in?
Well, there's a number of trees. You know, like I was telling Lena that the birch tree, obviously that would take some moisture. Uh-huh. Probably I would lean towards a black gum tree. That's a beautiful tree right there. And that would be a nice, wonderful shade tree. You know, also, too, another tree that will take moisture, and we don't talk about it often, and that's a sycamore, the London plane tree.
Yep.
Really cool tree. It's got some gnarly character to it with that. The white bark and so forth.
Yeah,
just, you know, really, really neat.
Now that
really,
you really mentioned that, there is one of those in the back of our neighbors, Paula and Joe's place.
Mm-hmm.
Their yard slopes away from their house, And that's what they have there. So that would be a good
thing. Yeah, you will find the old sycamores, you know, they were always down near the creek beds or where, you know, you had those tributaries that would all come together.
Sure.
And that's where they thrived and did their best. That's really a cool tree, too, and it's got a lot of character. And like I said, the black gum, red maples will do okay.
Yeah.
The honey locust. So any of those things, you know. But again, I want to put some emphasis on this, is that they do not soak up the water woes.
Right, right.
You know, they just tolerate it.
Very good. And I'm sure, Lena, when you go see your friend Todd out at Baton's, he'll get you hooked up.
Yeah, they got, or Todd at Baton's, and she's out there in Florence. She can see
she's Maddox, in Walton.
Walton, yeah, right there by Maddox Garden Center. So a lot of good choices there.
We have Jeff from Bethel on the line. Oh, I'm sorry.
We're going to Steve?
Yeah, okay.
We're talking about Baton's. We're going to Steve. Steve, you there?
Yeah, hey, how are you guys?
Well, good morning to you. We have Steve Lowe with us from Baton's.
We were talking earlier
in the show. You guys got a little thing getting ready to kick off here this morning. What is it? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's the Peach Trot. They were here a month ago, and it was quite busy. So this morning we opened the gates early, and they got set up early. And so far the line is very small, and it's going well. But last time we had a line wrapped all the way around the nursery.
Man.
But they're fresh peaches. They're literally picked a day or two before and put on the truck and brought right here.
Oh.
They usually tell you to wait a day or two and put them on the counter and
tear into them
for eating.
Ooh, you know, Jim Montag up at Lakeview, the peach truck will stop up there at different points in time, and he said it just gets crazy.
I mean,
crazy. I mean, we hired some sheriffs to direct traffic. They were literally parked up and down the connector road and in the street. It was chaotic. But this time it's really going smooth
and that's good.
Small.
That's good to hear. You know, nothing like a peach, and you bite into one, those juices just go right down the side of your cheek, so to speak. You know, you run down your chin.
My mouth is watering right now. I'm salivating.
That's it. That's what it's all about.
What time it opens at 8?
Yep, we're actually open now.
Okay.
We open an hour early, but it is scheduled from 8 to 9:30. Okay. Anybody who's in line will get taken care of.
Sweet.
They won't run out. We got a whole semi of peaches, and they've got pecans as well.
Oh!
They're really good.
Oh, sounds like a good time. Sell a lot of peaches, though, I'm going to tell you, and I love pecans, too.
Give us your address real quick for some of our listeners who might be tempted now to ride that way.
We're at 364 Frontown Road in Union, Kentucky. It's kind of by the Richwood area, so if you get off at the Richwood exit, we're right around there. We're really easy to find once you know you're here, or once you've been here, you'll always come back.
Yep.
And we'd love to see you.
All right.
All right, Steve. Thanks. Have a good day, buddy.
You too. Thanks.
Man, I'm not kidding. My mouth is watering.
Oh, peaches are good. And you know, Jim Montag told me that I forgot how many pallets that they'll take off that truck. And what they'll sell up there at Lakeview, it's incredible. So nothing like a good old peach, that's for sure. Especially out of Georgia. The Georgia peach.
Mm-mm-mm. Tasty. Do we still have Jeff on the line from Bethel? Okay, Jeff, sorry. Give us a call back. We'll come back to you. We do have Jerry on the line from Northern Kentucky. He's got a hosta question for you, Tony. Hi, Jerry. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing damn.
I got a question. Our hostas, our neighbors got some huge ones across the street, which is looks like the same brand that we got. I'm not sure which ones they are. But ours blooms like every year. Ours is like blooming like every other year. Is that just the way they are?
Usually hostas are pretty reliable when they bloom. A lot of it probably has to do with the amount of light exposure in addition to, moisture. You know, how much moisture is provided to the hosta itself. And also, don't rule out fertilization.
Right.
And
we fertilize them all the time. They're huge, but they just don't bloom like hers do every year.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I could care less if hostas bloom. I know a lot of people like to see them go into bloom, but I'm more into the foliage show.
I would
consider that somewhat of a plus, because a lot of times hostas will spend a great deal of energy you know, keeping that bloom going and going through that whole cycle. So, and that's what they're supposed to do.
Right, because these are like 2 to 3 feet wide. They're huge.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes when they get that large, that kind of size, it certainly doesn't hurt to divide. That keeps them more vigorous. You know, that might improve some of the bloom production.
But yeah, again, like every other year.
Yeah, it's a combination, you know. It's a combination of things, Jerry. You know, it's like that moisture. Yeah.
Also, I got another question. I did the 3-step program.
Yeah.
From you guys up there at Jackson's.
Uh-huh.
And I'm starting to see a lot of, like, clover patches for all of a sudden lately. Should I do the weed and feed again?
No. What I would do is, as temperatures, you know, kind of start to subside, you know, where they get down below 85,
right,
I would just spot treat some of that with weed-free zone.
Okay.
And unfortunately, sometimes that happens. A lot of times, clover gets into the lawn usually late in the season from the prior year.
Right.
And when it germinates, you know, we just don't see it. And then all of a sudden when things go like boom, you know, it's in its ideal conditions and situation, that's when we start seeing the little clover leaf, and actually then it turns to the white bloom.
Right.
Is it blooming, or are you just seeing a little bit of... Yeah. Well, don't let it bloom, you know, if you can keep from it, because, you know, that's where the seeds want to come from.
Just treat it. So I go up and just treat it today. Would be a good day to treat
it. Yeah, I think today would be a good day. Ernie, give us the owl sleep.
Oh,
well, what's the temperature
gorgeous.
Supposed to be up to
temperatures
today?
Temperatures expected to climb to the mid to upper 80s. Low humidity today. Lots of sunshine. The same
mid-80s.
Tomorrow,
there
Monday, and Tuesday.
Perfect. I think, especially after last week's rain and yesterday's rain.
Right.
Everybody's happy in the lawn right now. You know, even the weeds. So
the rest of it's beautiful. I mean, like I said, I got maybe 6 little patches about the size of a basketball here and there.
Yeah, get it out of there, and be ready. If you need to sow grass seed, you can do it right at the end of August going into September, if you need to. But certainly don't let it get a foothold. I sprayed a little bit the other day. I had a couple little spots that were trying to sneak in on me. And if your neighbors have it, okay?
Got a bunch.
Yeah. It's getting in on you at late in the season when the prodiamine starts to wear off of that first step from Fertilome. That's when that starts to sneak in. And believe me, it would be worse if you were not using the first step. I'm telling you, it would be a lot worse.
Oh, I swear by that stuff. It's unbelievable.
So,
we used to have our yard sprayed, and I was like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
What'd you pay for it?
Nope. Just last but not least, Jerry, this is one thing I want to encourage you to do. Unless you're going to sow grass seed in the fall, do not hesitate to use Dimension, you know, the turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper from High Yield in your lawn. That'd take that out through the whole end of the season.
And use that in the fall?
Yeah. Unless, and I say this, if you're going to sow grass seed, then do not use it.
Right. No, it's pretty thick. I mean, it's 10 times thicker than it was a couple years ago.
Well, that's what you want. You got it. That's what you want, brother.
Okay.
All right. Have a good weekend, Jerry. Take care.
Bye.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Plenty of ways to stay connected with us. You can jump onto our Facebook page, In and Around the House. You can email us, in and around the house at b105.com, and 749-B105. We have Jerry on the line from Hebron, Tony. He's got a couple of tomato questions for you. Jerry, what kind did you plant?
They are like Better Boys.
Better Boys? That's a good tomato.
Yeah. What happened was, you know, I planted 6. I've only got 2 that survived. They were blooming, but the blooms were falling off, so I went and got some fertilizer that was 4 tomatoes and put it on there. Well, now one plant's got like 26 tomatoes on it, and the other one's got 32, and I'm just not sure if I don't want to lose all the tomatoes. I mean, I should take some of them off or what I needed to do.
Oh, no, man. That's what you want, brother.
Okay.
Keep them on there and just wait for them to ripen.
Okay. The other question I had was, which I'm not going to name the lawn service that comes out and sprays my lawn and stuff like that, and I want to overseed it. I just moved into this house. I'm trying to get the lawn back, you know, up to par.
Uh-huh.
They're spraying it. And it's green. It's green as it can be, but, you know, I keep having the weed problems pop up throughout there. Then they'll come back out and spray again. There's got to be a better way than my money I'm paying to have weed control and feed on the grass and to be able to have a nicer lawn than what I'm getting.
Right.
I just want y'all's opinion. They're wanting to do an aeration overseeding this fall, but for the size yard I have, which is not a great big yard, you know, they're wanting, like $240-something to aerate and overseed.
I'll do that for $240. I'll do it for $199. No, yeah. All kidding aside, you know, you could do that rather easily yourself. And this is where I would start. If my first question is this, you were talking about weeds getting into the lawn rather easily or quickly, and they're having to come back and retreat.
Right.
What we need to do, and what sounds like is happening to me, is we have some thin areas.
We do, yes.
Okay.
When they treated it the first time, he did tell me, he said, you know, you're going to lose what you think is grass. You're going to lose quite a bit because you've got a lot of weed in there, and you're going to have thin grass.
Right.
That's what I thought.
Right. And so given that situation, what that tells me is what we need to do first and foremost is get that lawn thicker. And that's going to involve doing just what you mentioned. You know, if you want to aerate, you can do it prior to seeding. That's fine. Do it prior to seeding, not after seeding.
Okay.
So it's really easy, and you just got the Arch rental tool, and you and a couple neighbors can rent an aerator. You want a core aerating machine where it pulls up the plugs and leave those plugs on the lawn because that's beneficial as they break down.
Okay.
And you can do that for about $40. One weekend, you and a couple other neighbors get a truck, pick it up, use it, and then go at it.
All right.
However, I want you to be ready to turn the corner right at the end of August and sow grass seed at that time.
Okay.
At that time, not in October. I want you to do it at the end of August going into September. That is the ideal time. That's going to give you all of September as we start to cool down, and all of October to where you can get the grass up and you can mow it two or three times, which will harden it off prior to going into the fall season. And if I were you, I don't know what kind of contract that you have, but if your lawn or your yard's not that big, I'm telling you, you can do it yourself, have just as good as, if not better results versus paying somebody an exorbitant amount of money to take care of it for you.
Okay, what grass for this area do you, because I just moved up here 2 years ago, what grass do you recommend for this area, and how many pounds should I throw it? They're saying it's a 994 square foot is what they're telling.
Real simple. You know, the rule of thumb is this. With the grass seed, you ask me what type, I would stick towards the fescues.
Okay.
Fine Lawn Elite does a great job. I've used it personally, and I can attest to it. It works wonders. It's a great seed. It's been around for some time. At the same token, I want you to consider using a starter fertilizer. Now, if you're just doing a small area, you can still use the orange bag of Fertilumes. That's your choice. Now, the other thing, keep this in mind when you're sowing grass seed. The rule of thumb, just to give you a generalization, if you have 1,000 square feet without anything on it, you're starting from scratch. It's bare, okay?
Yes.
You're going to use roughly 6 to 10 pounds per 1,000 square feet.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that out there. When you overseed an area of that size, 1,000 square feet, and you already have existing turf, it's usually half the rate, 3 to 5 pounds per 1,000 square feet.
All right.
More is not better. So when you do this, again, I'm really putting a lot of emphasis on this. Be ready to do it at the beginning of September.
Well, I'll just get everything that you just named. I'll get it all and have it ready to do at the end of September, and get it done so I can. I'll just do it myself. Like I said, the company that I'm having done, like I'm not going to call it name, it's nationally known. It just, I'm not seeing any kind of, all they did thin the yard out, but other than that, I've still got, weeds is popping up,
and not dying off even after they spray. I mean, I've got some clover that they sprayed, and it didn't even die off. It's still there.
Wow. And clover's tough, and a lot of that has to do with one, you know, a couple of issues here. One is temperature. We say it all the time, okay? You know, when you're above 85, pushing 90, and you're spraying, even weeds shut down. They're not taking that product in. They're just as smart as the turf or anybody else, believe it or not. So it's not ideal to do that. And secondly, you know, the question is, has your lawn service been using a pre-emergent? But in defense of everybody that's involved here, when it's thin, it's vulnerable. So we need to get the turf in first, then we'll take care of it secondly.
Okay, and then that three-step program y'all talking about, would that be something I could do starting next year, or would I have to hold off?
No, the fall is the best time to get in on the whole program.
Right.
Okay.
The two fall feedings, you're going to do it, you know, in the fall twice, in September and the middle of November. That is that's the two most important feedings on your lawn, period. I don't care what you do the rest of the year. Right. The fall is the most important, and that's why it's the best time to get into your own fertilization process in a three-step program.
Well, I will go here in a few minutes and pick up everything I need to get started at the end of August, and I'll take a picture of it now and then a picture of it next year and post it on y'all's Facebook page. Super. and see
perfect.
What we end up happening.
And I want you to tune in the end of August. I want to say it's the 27th. Don't hold me to that, but that around that point in time, that Saturday, Mike Clare from the Boone County Extension Office is going to be in with us here in the studio, and we're going to talk about preparing our lawns and getting them taken care of at that particular point in time.
And
we're also going to wish Mike well because he's getting ready to retire, and he's going to be really missed. That's for sure.
All right. I appreciate all your help. Enjoy listening to your programs on Saturday.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, and been covering a lot of ground. Don't forget to stop out at Baton's, and the peach truck is there. I just got a message from my wife, Lisa. I got to rush home, pick her up, and then head that way. She wants to can some peaches.
You know, we're not far away from that time.
No. I said, okay, I will come out and get you, and then we'll go.
I wish more people would can. I really do.
Yeah.
I tried selling some of those supplies at the garden center, and they just sit. There's nothing better than going to the cupboard during the winter months and just pulling out off the shelves what you harvested the prior season. Oh my gosh.
As a matter of fact, just the other night she brought out some green beans and some sweet potatoes that she had canned last year. They were delicious. So I'm excited about that old peach thing.
Delicious.
Sounds awesome.
Got it.
Looking forward to it.
I hear you.
I'm not looking forward so much to the sauerkraut session that she always goes
to. Oh, that's some good stuff there, too, now. I love sauerkraut. And nothing better than a nice, tasty Reuben with sauerkraut on it and Thousand Island dressing. Oh, that's a condiment.
Yeah.
Back up. We're talking about Ernie's not a condiment guy. Yeah. He goes through drive-thru, and he always gets that cheeseburger with cheese with nothing on it.
Yeah, and you got to repeat that two or three times.
The Sybil.
Or they don't get it right.
Yeah. I like that. I want a cheeseburger with cheese. Are you sure?
Cheese only. Did you get that? Only. Cheese only.
Doesn't a cheeseburger have cheese? With cheese.
But cheeseburger with cheese. Yeah.
You're not right. And the fact that you do not like mayo on your BLT just mm-mm. blows me away.
Mm-mm.
Nor do you, and come to find out this morning, we were talking about tomatoes.
Huh?
Okay. Summertime fruit right here.
Yeah.
And that you don't like salsa.
Yeah, I haven't figured that out yet.
Oh.
Lisa also can salsa, so I can imagine I'll try it sometime soon.
Nah, not in your lifetime.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
I just turned 61. But I'm not the one that got asked for the.
You're almost ready to get your senior card.
The senior,
the
discount.
Senior card,
which was so funny.
All right. Aside from having fun and kidding around, I want to revisit what happened over in Covington the other night.
Yes.
You know,
vandalism at its worst.
If you're just joining us, you know, it just the vandals just went through the city of Covington down there on Holman Avenue and destroyed 17 trees. Uncalled for.
I hope they catch these guys.
I do too.
Or whoever. And I hope that they get a chance to have them.
Take them down to Goble Park, call them out, make it a public hearing, and just take care of it. You know?
Well, I was
upset.
I'd like to see something. Yeah, I would make them replant all the trees. You know, in this day and age. Sometimes the punishment doesn't equate to the crime, and I think it would be a good time to re-implement that.
I agree. And if they're juveniles, hold their parents accountable and make them pay. You know, a lot of times parents allow their kids to get away with those kind of things, and just totally uncalled for. Uh-huh. It really is.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I'm not there to preach on that. Just we need to come together as a community. And hopefully, if someone knows anything about this and what happened, let the authorities know.
Right.
We want to find out who's responsible.
Agreed.
17 trees. Oh, my gosh. It's on our Facebook page, yeah. And I just want to touch base with it. And the beauty of the whole deal is the community has come together. They've embraced what's happened, and we're going to replan again.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have a little get-together. I think it's Saturday. I wish I had a little bit more information on it. And if someone in Covington has that information, call in and let us know. Hopefully, maybe Holly Young's listening. I'm not sure, but she's really an advocate behind getting things reestablished. And we just need to head in that direction and fix what's been broken.
Couldn't agree more.
Oh, wow. But check it out on our Facebook page and on to a better high note that also somebody that we know, Mike LaFever, brought in some cut hydrangeas that were just over the top stellar. I'm telling you, they were just beautiful. He was in the florist and garden center the other day, had asked me a question. Tony, if I cut my wife's hydrangeas, will you arrange those and take them to her place of employment so she can put them on her desk? And man, he wasn't kidding. They were gorgeous. And like you said earlier,
the size of your head.
I'm like, Mike, are these really out of your garden?
Yeah.
You didn't cut them out of someone else's, did you? But, yeah, check that out on our Facebook page, too. And you guys did one heck of a job going through and checking out all of our local leaders. And I got to ask you this one because I did a little digging the other day. What was the paint project or process that product they were selling over there at Wolf Angles?
I got to go back and visit her because it is a new product. That you can take, if the paint will take to any surface. Furniture,
uh-huh.
Surface, inside, outside, and you can then go over, once you apply this product, then you can go over it and repaint any kind of designs or stripes or checks or plaids or anything and take furniture that a lot of people are throwing away,
mm-hmm.
repaint it,
mm-hmm.
reapply this product. And then put a design on it. You can set it outside and leave it outside, and it will be absolutely fine. So we found one of these little projects at St. Vincent de Paul. This is how things go around the Brown household. Lisa was having me take some stuff up to drop off, and she went with me. We wound up bringing back more stuff that we had purchased than we had dropped off. And one of them was, remember the patio furniture that I redid a couple of years ago? We sanded it all off, repainted it. Well,
I thought your buddy Tag did all that.
No,
did you do it?
No,
okay,
no, no,
I'm
I did
just
all that. Tag helped with the firewood.
No, I'm just
a lot
kidding.
Of other people. So we found another set, bigger set with more chairs, and we're going to do the same thing. But when I was out seeing Barb out at Plants by Wolf Angle,
mm-hmm.
her daughter came through, and we did a little segment about that paint. And they've got a stand out there at Plants by Wolf Angle,
mm-hmm.
and you can go by, and they'll give you a complete instruction. They have all the stuff there. And I've got the idea that because there is some fabric on this patio furniture, that once I paint the, the furniture and the supports of the chairs,
yeah.
then I want to do something different on the fabric of the chairs. And I'm going to leave the design aspect of that to Lisa. But that's a great idea and an awesome way to turn unused or unwanted furniture into something you can put on your patio or on your deck or, you know, on the porch and not have to worry about it getting wet.
Interesting. Well, Jessica was the one who showed you all the product line, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I did a little, you know, I was digging a little deeper. I thought, you know, this is really a cool video that you guys shot.
You were nebbing a little deeper.
Nebbing. Thank you. Nebbing. I will say that occasionally. Are you mocking me?
No, I'm not mocking you.
Yes, you are. It's okay. I'm glad I have that kind of influence on you. Nonetheless, I was wanting to give you a little hard way because as I was nebbing, uh-huh. as you would say, into, you know, that product, I saw somebody painting lampshades, and mm-hmm. I just envisioned you doing that. And I'm like, boy, would your friends have fun.
And then putting it on my head later at the party.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd probably do that.
There's Ernie. He's got a lampshade on his head at the party.
But I thought it was a great video, and you shot some out at Maddox. You shot some up there with Jim at Lakeview. You mm-hmm. shot some at Baton's. You shot some over at Robbins. Burger Farms, you guys were all over the place, and you did a wonderful job.
It was a whirlwind tour of the local leaders and our sponsors of the show, and everyone was kind with their time. You know, it's something to just show up on their doorstep and say, hey, can you spend a few minutes with us? And they're busy unloading, loading, and reworking their products and getting them ready to sell. And they were very kind.
Yeah, and I failed to mention our buddy Ed up at Ed's Feed and Seed.
Yeah.
So, Ed, sorry, I didn't forget about you. Just didn't get you in that whole string of things. And I liked the signage at Lakeview.
Isn't that great?
Do something dirty.
Yeah.
Only Jim. Do something dirty. Yeah. Get some dirt on you.
So make sure you stop by and see some of our local leaders and our sponsors of the show in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. All great people. And great information, too. That's the one thing that we kept finding over and over and over again is that we would be there with them, and a client or a customer would come in. They would drop what they're doing and go over and help them either identify the product they're looking for or, if they were having an issue, get the issue resolved.
You know, and that's what, you know, independent businesses are all about. You know, they're the cornerstone of our communities, and having those relationships with your customers is wonderful. It really is. You know, customers come into the front door, and in my eyes, they don't always have to buy something. It's just good seeing them. You know things about their family and their kids or grandkids, and it's just like, hey, how have you been? And, you know, there's nothing better than that kind of a relationship.
I couldn't agree more.
No, it's huge. It really is. And what you need to do, now, you're out to work this out with upper management, but if they can spring for you to go up to the show with all of us, you know, I'm talking about Mark, you know, from Burger, and Bob mm-hmm. from Bard's, all of us, that's a great time, Ernie, up in Atlantic City.
Educational?
I'm sure. Educational, golfing, but you'll get to see a lot of the Garden Center products.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's up there at that show. Everyone has a good time. We all cut up. Have a few Frosties, as you say, mm-hmm. and that would be a good trip for you to take in with us.
Okay. I'll suggest it, and you back it up.
No, I'll suggest it, and you back it up.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. It'll be a great day to get some stuff done in and around your house. Make sure you visit your locally owned, independently operated garden center today. Beautiful weather, temperatures expected to hover in the mid-80s or so, and low humidity, lots of sunshine, just exactly what we were hoping for. A lot of people were hoping for this weather last weekend. I can't do anything about that. So get out and enjoy it now.
You sure you can't?
I can't.
You can always give us the forecast.
I can.
You can change it.
I can't take us back in time.
It's all right. So what do you have going on this weekend? Anything good?
A lot of great stuff. I'm going to stop out at my ugly buddy Russ's a little later on this afternoon. A couple of buddies are getting together. Going to play a little tunage and play some music and have some refreshment. I'm going to go pick up my wife Lisa. We're going to go to Baton's and get some peaches.
So what instrument will you be playing? Like clarinet? Flute? He said you're going to play some music.
Yeah, and I'm the sound guy. And a cowbell. I'll play a little cowbell. We'll
need more cowbell. Yeah, need more cowbell. Always need more cowbell.
And then tomorrow I have the honor of hosting the Riding and Rocking for Autism fundraiser. That's going to be out at Tri-County Harley-Davidson. And all the proceeds of that go to benefit autism here locally. Mm-hmm. And get a chance to get out on the old blue 92 and have some fun and raise some money.
Take a first spin. I hear you. You know, there's some summer festivals coming up, too. Church festivals.
Yes.
Any particulars festivals or any favorite festivals?
Oh, I always look forward to the St. Joe Festival in Crescent Springs. That's the second weekend in August.
You can walk home from there.
I can.
Or do you call Uber and get a lift? No.
But it's always a longer walk home than it is up there. Same distance, it just seems to take a little longer at
that. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I can see that. I know Holy Cross is getting ready to have their big summer festival.
Mm-hmm.
St. Ben's down in Covington, that's always a good time.
Yeah.
It's really cool when you get to see some old friends from years ago or people you don't typically see throughout the course of the year. You just run into them at those festivals, and that's the only time you see them.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
And those are always a blast, always a great time.
Definitely.
What do you got going on down at Jackson's? I know you guys are always...
Still have our sale going on. You know, our trees and shrubs, what we still have in stock looks good, and they're half off. And we'll be bringing in some fresh product, actually, in another week or so with perennials. And, you know, it's not the end of the season. There's still plenty of time to plant things. Mm-hmm. I know that's not always the most popular time to plant because, you know, it gets starts warming up a little bit. A lot of people go on vacation or do other things, but still... You know, there's always something to do in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And I know I got my works cut out for me.
Right. And you had some storm damage
at
your place not long ago.
Walked in the house last night after work, or late yesterday, and Tina's like, what did you do with the umbrella? I'm like, what? What did you do with the umbrella? So I didn't do anything. She starts smiling. Yes, you did.
Yeah, where is it?
Well, where it was, it took a flight, man. It went up over our back room and over into the neighbor's yard. And when she said that to me, I knew something happened. And I immediately looked out in the backyard, and some of the trees were damaged. And it was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, I'm going to fire up the old steel chainsaw and go at it.
Damn it.
You know, I got a lot of work to do. I really do. I was surprised. And my next door neighbor said it just, a wall of wind just came up out of the south, you know, directly behind our houses. And he said it just tossed some things around on his deck, threw it into his house.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was really nervous, and he even took his family and kids down to the basement.
Wow. Speaking of work, Tony, we have Jerry on the line from Bridgetown, and he has got, hopefully my wife is listening, got a question about trimming a burning bush. How old is your bush, Jerry?
They're about 5-6 years old.
Uh-huh. And it's gotten pretty large?
Well, yeah, it has gotten pretty large here, and I trim every year. I just
want to
know the best time and how far can I
trim
that.
I got you.
Real simple, real easy. The burning bush, man, you can butcher that thing to no end, and it will, it's like man's best friend, the dog. He'll come right back, you know? But really, and leave it alone now so you can enjoy the color this fall. And then late winter, early spring, give it a good haircut. That's what I did to mine last year, and they have responded so well.
Mm-hmm.
And they were as tall as I am. They were over 6 foot, and I cut them down to about 2.5. And they look like brand new little shrubs that I put in for the very first time.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure because I wanted to try to trim them this fall, but then, like I said, I wouldn't enjoy the color.
Yeah, no, enjoy the color. That's why I was just telling you, wait till late winter, early spring. And at that point in time, when you cut them back before they start to flush out, there's just so much energy in that plant, and it's ready to spring loose, no pun intended. And I think you get a lot of bang for your buck in that growth value.
Okay.
So
wait till next year, and then don't worry about it.
Yeah, like end of February, going right into the very early part of March.
Okay.
Cut them back. Take them down to about 2 foot, 3 foot. You know, and they'll respond favorably.
All right. That sounds great. That's all I need to know.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. That was pretty good information there because we have a big burning bush in the back of our yard we need to trim.
Yeah, and there are beauties in the fall. So that's when you really get that appreciation for the euonymus, the burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
On that same note, I like the question there because anything that blooms in the spring, early spring, do not cut it back now. Do not. We're in July. Things have set up. If you have to cut it back, that's one thing. Or if you have something that's diseased, that's another. Anything that's damaged or anything that's dead. But if one of those three D's, dead, diseased, or damaged, is not present,
mm-hmm.
anything that blooms in the spring, leave her alone because you're going to cut out some of that bloom if you prune it this fall for next spring. And you just won't get that pop of
right.
color.
And then next spring will come, and you know, whatever happened to my blooms and whatever happened mm-hmm. to that.
That's what happens.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Hit it around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Plenty of ways to stay connected with us. 749-B105. You can also email us at inandaroundthehouse@b105.com or jump onto our Facebook page and send us a message, send us pictures. And Tony, we have Carol from Villa Hills on the line. Has got a question about trimming clematis. Hi, Carol. Thanks for the call.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Hey, I was a little confused because I have I think it's called a Jack Monty clematis.
Mm-hmm.
Blooms more around June. And it is a tangled ball mess. And I know I need to cut it back, but now I'm confused if I cut it back now or if I got to wait another year and cut it back in late winter because it blooms more in June and not really early spring.
Right. You know, Jack, man, you're close to the spring bloomers. You know, there's different groups when it comes to pruning clematis. There's group one, there's group two, and group three. And for example, just as you stated, like group one, those are the guys that you'll prune right after they finish blooming in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And then those stems from that point on will have enough time to make their flower buds for that same, you know, for the following year. And right now, you know, is it still in bloom?
No.
No, I would cut it back a little bit.
Okay.
I you're going to be fine. How long have you had it?
Only a few years, but it has taken off, and it's just gorgeous. It's just covered mm-hmm. with blooms, but it's just such a gnarly ball. I even have to tie it up because it's so heavy, it'll bend over. So I need to cut it and kind of get the vines to go differently and kind of start all over
yeah.
with it.
No, but the real key is when you leave, you know, when you allow the clematis to go unpruned for a period of time, you know, the stems become a little gnarly, decrepit. You know, they get heavy. They get overloaded, so to speak. And you mm-hmm. don't see as many bloom flowers. You know, it doesn't produce as many flowers as they're capable of producing.
Wow.
And you're keeping them, you're keeping them more vigorous, too, when you're pruning. So in that situation, you know, it's always difficult to tell homeowners when to prune a clematis because there's three different groups and three different types.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for example, the Sweet Autumn is so vigorous, you know, you cut that one back low.
Right. I cut yeah. that back to the ground.
And that's one of my favorites too, because you get that nice, wonderful fragrance later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I would take yours. I always say this, if you're not really sure, just always prune it back halfway.
Okay.
And you never go wrong from that standpoint.
Okay, I'll get on that this weekend.
Do you plant anything, Carol, in front of it low?
Yeah, I've got some ground cover. I forget the name of it off the top of my head. But I got some ground cover right in front of it to try and shade that the roots.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, the old saying is they like their shoulders in the sun and their feet in the shade.
Mm-hmm.
And having something, you know, low growing out in front of it to kind of shade the root structure as it comes up out of the soil, that's so important. And that mm-hmm. really comes into play with how well it performs as well. So,
okay.
No.
Well, thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. All right.
Have a good weekend.
Bye. Okay. Bye.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we were talking about the vandalism over on Holman Avenue in Covington, where they, a couple of years ago, planted some trees to improve the psychology of the neighborhood, so to speak, and everybody's mental awareness and relaxation, beautification. And then a couple of guys went through, at least a couple of guys that we think, went through and hacked them down. 17 trees destroyed.
Yeah, they don't know if somebody really acted alone or if it was a group of people, but 17 or 18 newly planted trees just there in the West Side community along Holman Avenue were destroyed. And it was devastating. It really was. I was appalled. I was speechless when I saw that. It's just uncalled for. You know, it's a crying shame that somebody has that kind of, like, I don't know. I think there's some mental issues there. When someone wants to do things that destructive, that's just not right. That's not even healthy. But aside from all of that, you know, they're going to have a fundraiser at Orchard Park Saturday, July 9th, which is today, from 3 to 5. Food, drinks, prizes, gift cards, and the community is generous enough to donate different things. And I want to say thank you to the Renaissance Group of Covington, the City of Covington, and our good friend Phil over at Mackey's Meats. They provided some meats to grill out and so forth, and Duke Energy. And it's so wonderful to see when things like this happen, how a community can come together and revitalize the devastation or the whole situation that went awry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's about. You know, how do you come together collectively as a, you know, as common ground and make it happen again? So they're going to replant.
That's the best thing in the world to do.
Yes.
You know, because trees in an urban setting really add so much more than just shade. It just sort of brings the whole urban thing together.
Oh, there's so many benefits to trees. Mm-hmm. You know, they provide, you know, they clean the air for us. You know, they provide oxygen. They remove pollutants.
Mm-hmm.
They provide shade. You know, if they're on whatever side of your home, it can reduce or lower your utility bills.
Right.
They provide beauty. They're great pollinators. You know, just everything comes into play with the tree. We need trees.
Especially for the birds.
Yes. After we've lost so many of the ash trees, and, you know, we've had that issue with the Asian longhorn beetle up in Batavia, we need to replenish our trees by planting new trees. And when was the best time to plant a tree? 10 years ago. Yesterday. That's right. Don't think about yourself all the time. Think about future generations, just like those, you know, that were back in the day that did it for us.
Great.
Oh, absolutely.
Great. I love that.
Well, maybe 100 years ago, plant the tree.
That caught me off guard, and I thought it was fantastic. Well, you should have done it by now, you know. When do you need this done? Yesterday. Oh, okay.
Oh, it's always funny. People will say it often. I want a big tree. I'm not going to be around. I want to enjoy it. Just, you know, go up in the hillside. Go to some of those big trees. Why not? But, yeah, it's just, oh, that was terrible. I can't get over thinking about that.
Yeah.
I really can't.
Senseless. Absolutely senseless.
Very, very much
so. Let's kind of get together and get this done, get it fixed, and then
move on.
Make everybody happier. That's our objective. Make everybody a little happier.
Most definitely.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we were talking with Carol from over at Villa Hills. We got a couple of clematis over at the house. One is a senior member of the house there because it's been on our mailbox forever.
Right.
And then we have a new one we got from you 2 years ago. And it's really starting to...
Yeah, you have that one on your mailbox is beautiful.
Yeah.
And I believe that one's a Jack Man Eye, too, the one like Carol was talking about.
And how important is that trimming and when?
Let me ask you this. Do you prune it back or does Lisa?
Lisa does all that.
Well, you know.
I tie it up.
I always say this, that when in doubt, when it comes time to pruning a clematis, just go halfway. If you're ever in doubt, because not everyone always knows what clematis that they have.
Yeah.
Or if you want to call it clematis. The Jack Man Eye, it blooms on new growth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's people that will cut them back late winter, early spring. you know, and she said hers was pretty tangled up and tight. And,
yeah.
And in that situation, you know, she's pruning it back with a purpose, and it sounds as if it's been established for a while. I've never really seen anybody lose a clematis because they didn't prune it at the most opportune time.
Mm-hmm.
But in that particular situation, I would do it after it's blooming because okay. I would enjoy those blooms. And I was telling her, if she wants to do it now, that's fine. But, you know, I'd rather see people do a little pruning than not prune at all. So, it, like I said, it's even with trees sometimes or a shrub. Just because if you may not prune it at the ideal time, so what?
Right.
You know, I like I said, you're not going to kill it. I'd rather see somebody prune, but try and prune with a purpose. You know, I didn't know if you pruned that
don't
back.
Just, don't get in there and hack away.
No. And a lot of times our trees, I like to prune the trees when they drop their foliage late in the year because you can see the structure. You know, a lot of times the foliage, the leaves will hide the structure. And when you make a cut and that it falls to the ground, you can't put it back on.
You can't.
No, you heck can't. No, you can't put it back on. So really be diligent, prune with a purpose, prune properly. And, you know, I like to do it when there isn't foliage on it, on the tree, because I can see what it is and I'm going inside.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Well, that's a good question. You brought that back up. But, you know, again, clematis is a very funny thing. And there's like three groups. It's pretty, it can get complicated as you're starting to look through and find out what it is that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody remembers. So I'm just in that mode.
I'm not in that category.
Knows. Yeah. Just. Halfway,
yeah.
After it blooms, or you can do it, you know, late winter, early, and sometimes you may cut out the bloom buds that were setting up for this year.
Sure,
but you know, if it's been around for a while, it's just making for a healthier plan.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. 749 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Been covering a lot of ground today, and again, make sure you jump on our Facebook page. We were posting that new information too about how. The damage done to the trees that were planted over in Covington over the last weekend or so. You can help out by being a part of the fundraiser, mm-hmm. or when they go to replant them, they're going to need all kinds of help, and we can get this redone. And then help the police if you know something, if you saw something.
Most definitely.
Call the police.
Yes. You know, a couple other things I want to touch base on, too. You know, a lot of people have been in the store telling me they're having issues with June bugs or Japanese beetles or the masked chafers. Usually by the middle of July, the female, she's working her way into the soil surface, and she's scratching in there and laying her eggs. And if you want to put down a grub control kind of product, you can still, I think you can pull it off and get away with it, because on average, it takes about 14 days for those eggs to hatch. And if you can get that broken down and watered in, you can save yourself maybe some potential problems with grub issues later in the season. And the problem is, we never see this until it's around September, and it's a little late sometimes going into October, damage, you know, and that's when that turf just pulls back like carpet.
So, yeah, and then it's too late.
You gotta, yeah. So just keep that in mind. You know, a lot of people are asking, how can I keep these guys off of my shrubbery and different things? You can use 7. But I want to caution you, when you're using 7, watch what it is that you're using it on, because it's very highly toxic to bees. And anything flowering, back off. Let the beetles just eat on it, because I guarantee you, if it's a flowering perennial or a pollinator, it will be back next year, regardless of what it looks like after beetles chew on them.
Mm-hmm.
So do not spray things that are in flower, because we need to protect the bees. So that's something that's been of concern for a lot of homeowners. The other thing is, I'm not a big advocate fan of going out and buying the traps, you know, with the hormone baits. You really want your neighbors to do that. So encourage them to do it, because they're going to go to their yards,
yeah.
not yours.
Yeah.
So when you have the party, you know, it's like you tell people, I'll have the beer. I'll have all the food. What happens? Everybody comes to your yard.
Mm-hmm.
So you want your neighbors to have the party. You want them to have all the food. You want them to have all the Frosties.
I like it.
Then they go there.
I like
so
it.
So that's important, too. And another thing, as we're in the summer months, a lot of us are having issues with ants at times. You know, they can be really pesky. It's, you know, the Zika virus with mosquitoes and so forth, and we just had a lot of rain. All this stuff comes into play. What can you do? You know, there's some products out there that you can spray in your yard, in your lawn, like 38 plus. Turf Ranger is another great product from High Yield. It's a granular product that you can put around the home's foundation in the landscape beds. Very, very effective for controlling insect issues. So, and 38 plus, I'm telling you, that stuff really works. You cannot spray it inside. If you want to use something inside and outside, then use High Yield's Kill a Bug 2. That's the numeral 2. So you can keep a lot of your insect issues at bay if you keep your garage clean, you keep the outside area clean, and you spray for insects, you should be good. So just throwing that out there for you. I know this spring we had a little issue with some ants.
Yeah. I noticed we had kind of a parade of ants when I came out of the front door this morning to come to work. I got to tell Lisa about that and make sure that she is aware so we can get that treated.
And do you remember we had a caller? It's a couple weeks ago. Use cinnamon inside. Or I guess you can use it outside.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's
remember?
Right. You know what? You're right.
Yeah, just seeing how good your memory
yeah.
is.
No, that's a great idea.
But I never used cinnamon, but I understand it's very effective.
Mm-hmm.
So a little clean way to do something, controlling the ants, without worrying about if you're using harmful products or not.
Agreed. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Jump on our Facebook page. We have the information posted about how you can help us get those trees replanted over in Covington. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And maybe when I go pick up Lisa and we go out to Baton's, we can get her to ask for their senior citizens discount.
There you go. That wasn't nice, man.
It was all just...
Are you wearing her down? Is she looking old? No. I don't get it.
It was kind of funny, though. It wasn't very funny to begin with. The car broke down. She had to send a tow truck to get me. Took us up and dropped it off at Sporty's Marathon up there on Buttermilk, and she came by and picked me up. Said, "Let's just run in here and grab something to eat. We'll go through the drive-thru there at Arby's." And we placed our order, went up to the window, and it obviously had to be a new girl. She was working very hard to be as polite as she could and do everything right, which she did. And she leaned in and said, "You want me to add the senior citizens discount?"
Sure.
I just started laughing. Oh, I couldn't stop myself. And then I got the look that you get from your wife when you know that it's not funny to them.
Just that they would ask you, "Do you want the senior's discount if you're at Sears buying a refrigerator?" Yes, I take the senior's discount happily.
And she just smiled and said, "Yes, please." And then I continued to laugh. And she said, "You know, she looked at you and said that." He said, "Well,
no, it's all good. It's all good."
But we, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what's going on with the car. And I know she appreciates the humor. Her post was pretty funny.
Well, she wasn't very happy. And you know, did she want to come and pick you up?
Well,
was she a little reluctant? Let's just talk about it. Because I've had that reluctancy thrown at me.
Did one of your friends drop you off?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Wasn't what she wanted to do late on a Friday.
Sure.
It was pretty funny.
He just inconvenienced
So her. I'll take her to Beaton's and we'll there get some go. Of those peaches.
Get some of those peaches. You know, boy, I tell you what, don't you just like this kind of things in the summer months?
Oh.
Watermelon. The other day... You know, you were talking about watermelon earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Made a watermelon salad using basil, little olive oil, fig, balsamic vinegar. And you can use one of the two, but really you want to use feta cheese because it's salty.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's to die for.
I guess I must have lived a really sheltered life. I've never heard of watermelon salad.
Yeah, Ernie, you know what? Everything's not a drive-thru at Arby's, okay? You know, you go through here, "Give me the cheeseburger with cheese." "Sir, doesn't the cheeseburger come with cheese?" Yeah, plain.
What else do you put on a watermelon salad?
You know what? It's pretty tasty with a beer. And we're going to have some people in here from a couple of local breweries. I'm working on this.
Uh-huh.
And I was over at Molly Malone's, one of my little favorite places to visit over in Covington. Mm-hmm. Sip on a couple frosties over there. But a couple weeks ago, Josh Rhodes and the guys who were there, they had like a tasting. It was a pairing. And Braxton's Brewery was there. Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale was there. A number, you know, Ryan Geist was there. And they had these, like, they had these pairings, you know, certain beers with certain foods.
Mm-hmm.
And it really rocked. It was really good. Almost like those who are wine aficionados.
Right.
They got to have this with that. Really, beers are just the same way. This is important. So, and I like the hoppy stuff.
Right.
Do you like the hoppy beers? Now, Tina, I like hoppy beers because she won't touch my beers. So I know I can go down to the refrigerator in the basement, and they're all in there.
Yeah, they're all still waiting for you.
They're still waiting.
But I'm interested about that watermelon salad. That sounds pretty good.
It was really good. Now, the one that I did the other day was with goat cheese. I really like goat cheese.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I think
you never had it.
I don't know.
Gosh, you've lived such a sheltered life.
Know. But so you just cut up the watermelon, throw it in there, a little
dice
little
it up,
salted
yeah,
cheese,
absolutely.
And
yeah, the feta cheese will add a little salt element to it.
Yeah,
and it's refreshing.
Mm.
It really is. Or you can just cut a hole in that thing and take a bottle of rum and turn it upside down and soak her. Huh?
You
ever done that? Did
Smalls,
you ever?
You're killing me.
Small. Like it.
Yeah.
But it's that time of year, you know, grilling.
Sure.
We need to get the guys from Mackey's Meats in here. We talked with Phil before over at Finley.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to talk about cuts and meats, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Stuff you can throw on the grill. By the way, I saw the photo that you sent me. You were manning the grill.
I did a little grilling.
Down at Lake Cumberland, of all places.
Yes, I did a little grilling. And I knew you'd appreciate that picture. And apparently I did pretty good. So I did.
Good.
I asked my wife, Lisa, I said, so what do I do with these? Because I would just leave them on there for maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, turn them, a couple of minutes there, turn them again, and then go.
You know, grilling is an art.
Delicious.
Yeah, and either you're cooking on direct heat or indirect.
Yeah.
You know, just don't burn it up.
Right.
And I always like to turn once.
Yeah.
I just mean, get that nice sear, turn once.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the photo that you sent, did you like my response?
Oh, I did. I did.
Ernie had these gnarly-looking shorts on. Well, all I saw were these white legs. And my response to he had Ernie sent me the photograph of him at the grilling down at Lake Cumberland, and he knows that I get on him because he's not the grilling kind of person. Mm-hmm. Lisa does all the grilling. And when I saw these white legs, my response was, I've seen a better pair of legs than a bucking chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, it was good. Yeah. We need to put that one on Facebook.
And I used that line later in the week down at the lake. A friend of ours came down, James, and his legs were worse looking than mine. So
a little storky looking, a little flamingo kind
of. Everything's roasty right now. I even though I applied sunscreen and the whole nine yards, I still got cooked.
You burn up, don't you?
Oh, man. Something else. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And it is going to be a gorgeous weekend to get something done in and around your house and get to your locally owned, independently operated home and garden center. And beautiful, beautiful weather. High temperatures in the 80s. Low humidity for the first couple of days, and just lots of sunshine. Apply that sunscreen and get out there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, today's a great day just to hang out some of the parks along the riverfront.
Yeah.
DeVue Park, go out to the Arboretum in Boone County. Number of different things. Just get out there and enjoy nature. You know, another great place to visit is Spring Grove Cemetery. Beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff to do. So, you know, I'd like to hang out at a pool today.
Would you?
Sunlight. They open. Let's go over. Yeah,
throw your speedos on and head over there.
Yeah, I got a pair of speedos. Yep. No, there's no way you can. Oh, gosh. That would be. Everybody would leave the pool area.
<That's right. laughs>
Get out of here. Who's that old man?
Yeah,
that wouldn't be good at all.
But it is great to be back off vacation, and it's great to be right in the heart of summer. That's what we always talk about too, is the problems with just summer just flies by,
mm-hmm.
takes so long to get through the winter. But we're going to make sure that you get a chance to enjoy it. Tony, we have Rick on the line from Green Hills, who has a soil question for you.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
What's going on with your soil?
Well, here's the deal. We have a or had a gazebo in our backyard for about approximately 30 years.
Uh-huh.
And the gazebo itself was in great condition. The base that it sat on, old treated lumber and stuff, was rotting. Well, with a younger kid and stuff, I'd rather not have this big old structure there that's rather unsafe and we don't use it. And so I tore it down. And I was thinking, well, maybe I should plant some, you know, vegetables or something in a little bit of the area that it once consumed. And as I'm tearing this thing down, I'm looking down. The whole base was pretty much rotted. All of that treated lumber, you know, is now somewhat soil.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned that I shouldn't grow anything on this soil. You know, even though, like, I can replace it, but how far down and stuff?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I honestly can't answer that. But there's no doubt about it. As those things break down, the chemical compounds that they use in treated lumber, you know, I cannot tell you what the residual rate is or what's there.
Sure.
You know, one place where you might want to start, and I can really appreciate your concerns, is take a soil sample to somebody and say, hey, and I don't know if it would necessarily be an extension service or entity, so to speak, maybe another type of company that can tell you if there's any chemical compounds in that soil that's harmful. You know, there's a lot of times that, you know, they can tell if there's lead or different things in soil, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, if there's some concerns there because of that, then if you feel that way, there probably are. And therefore, I would not grow anything there that's edible or something you're wanting to grow and consume, I should say. So maybe consider just sowing grass and off to the side somewhere else, maybe a raised bed.
That was a thought of, you know, just leveling it out, you know, replacing some of the dirt with the topsoil, then do a raised bed in that area.
You know, if you were to dig down, if you had the wherewithal or the equipment to do it, maybe remove some of it, fill it back in, then put a raised bed on the top, I think that would be fine. Yeah, but see, I really don't know. As things like that decay and break down, what's the residual value or rate of that? I don't know.
Yeah, I just know that the old woods contained arsenic and stuff like that.
It was a lot stronger than what the new product is that they're using, I think.
Exactly.
But definitely something to be concerned about. Do you have little kids?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you don't want to expose them to things like that because I really don't know. But, you know, have somebody maybe just analyze or test the soil for any chemical compounds and just see. Do a really good random sample, and from that standpoint, you have something solid, so to speak, to build upon.
Absolutely. All right.
Well, let us know how it goes.
Yeah,
right?
If you do that, let us know. You know, do that. It might cost you maybe $20, $25, but find out and follow up with us. I would be very interested to know if there's any residual there.
I certainly will.
All right,
have a good weekend.
You too, guys, and no speedos, please.
No, believe me, you won't see them on me.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And Tony, we have a new listener and a new message from our Facebook page. A guy named Kurt Ellis from Sharonville, listening to the show for the first time this morning, and he needs a shrub or a bush suggestion. He's trying to hide an AC unit and a utility box from the roadside view of the side of the house. The side yard is about 4 or 5 feet wide, a little bit of on the shady side of the house, and only gets sun for a couple of hours in the evening. He wants to know what kind of bushes or shrubs might be able to suggest to hide the things and give them a little color around the yard.
You know, and I'm glad he mentioned the shady element, because immediately I'm thinking ornamental grasses.
Uh-huh.
2 hours of sun's really not enough for ornamental grasses.
Right.
So maybe we want to go to something that's an evergreen. It could be a holly. It could be a boxwood. And sometimes, you know, our arborvitaes, our emerald green arborvitaes, will tolerate a little bit of shade. So those would be maybe three suggestions. Also, believe it or not, you know, a burning bush or maybe some of the viburnums might be an alternative, but they wouldn't be evergreen. But they'll take some shade. They'll tolerate some shade. And, for example, if it's a viburnum, it's not going to really necessarily bloom as prolific as it would if it had more sun. But still, they do relatively well. And hopefully, if it's a bright lit location, you know, that will help as well. So I would look at one of those choices.
Kurt, thanks so much for listening. Please come back and join us. We're here Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. I'm not Monday through Friday. Friday Saturday morning.
Get your day straight, will you? You've been on vacation.
I just got that break. It's Saturday morning from 6 to 9. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. I need one more day of vacation. We'll be back next week.